This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gil Dierman and Lakeshore Christian Fellowship in TKK, South Carolina. For more information, visit us online at lakeshorecf.com.
So excited that you're here. In fact, I think I'm just as excited that I'm here because this is a very special Sunday. Let me get you started. If you brought a Bible and you'd like to turn with us, then open to three passages, Proverbs chapter 29, Proverbs 29, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and then we're going to go back to the Old Testament. We're going to look in 1 Corinthians. While you're turning there, let me introduce myself for those of you that maybe it's your first time or you haven't been here a lot. I'm Pastor Gil. I'm senior pastor of Lakeshore Christian Fellowship, and this is Vision Sunday. Now, you've heard that several times already, but let me tell you about Vision Sunday, why it's so special for me. This Sunday has been at least a year and a half in the making. So it was in September of 2017 that Pastor Brandon preached a message. I wasn't here that morning. I was speaking at another place. But I listened to the podcast, and he focused on Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19, where God was promising that he was about to take that group of people to the next level. And he said, God said, here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to hang on to the things that are in the past. I want you to begin to look forward to some new things. And I want you to pay attention because I'm going to start moving things around and transitioning. And if you will, then he made some promises about what he would do in relevant things in their practical life and their spiritual life. And boy, when I heard that, I remember I was listening and I was driving in the car and I heard that and I thought, that is a word from the Lord for Lakeshore. And I got a hold of Brandon and I said, man, I don't think that was just a message. That was a word from the Lord. And he said, that's kind of what I felt when I was preaching it. And so I began to ruminate on that. Well, I took it all the way to the beginning of 2018. And in 2018, I started some conversations with the rest of our team. And that led to some changes. And we've been working very consistently since about June, maybe July, we really got some traction. And we've been working all leading up to this particular day. So this particular day is a rollout of something we've been praying about, something we've been listening to the Lord, something we've been gathering instructions and insight for at least 6 months, but really over a year, all the way back to 2017. Now, you're going to need to grab your bulletin because your bulletins are designed this morning to be a roadmap of who we believe that the Lord wants us to be this year. And as you're looking on the front of that bulletin, I want you to notice that the very first thing there is prayer. It's prayer. And we want to make sure that everybody understands that we're just not doing church. It's just not about programming and organizational strategies and those things. We're listening to the Lord and we're endeavoring to follow Him. And in fact, I think you already heard it mentioned, today is the end of a 21-day prayer and fasting venture that we've been on as a whole church. Now, some of you went on the whole thing. Some of you kind of, I'm not sure I want to do that or not. And some of you have been kind of hit and miss. Here's what you need to understand. It wasn't intended to be a one and done. It's not over. That's 21 days where we're pulling back and pausing and listening to the Lord so that we can now continue. So for some of you, in these 21 days, you realize some things about yourself. It's a little harder to give up some of the things that you wanted to give up than you thought it was. You know that whole, I can quit anytime I want, that's not always true. Things get lodged in us, and we need to make sure that we're keeping those things at a healthy margin so that we can let God be first place in our life. So if you showed up, some things showed up, like it was harder to be consistent in your daily devotions than you thought. You got some missing check boxes, then that's not discouraging. That doesn't need to be a condemnation. What it needs to be is a sign that, okay, so let's keep this going now and let's grow back the right direction. But you'll see in here that as we're moving forward, we're going to put these spiritual things right back in the first place. In fact, we're lifting them up a level more than we've ever done before. So we finished a series called Pray First. And you saw it advertised, and I want to encourage everyone this coming Friday night, we're having our first Friday. This is going to be a time of praise and worship and a time of prayer. And if you've never been to one of these, then let me just be the first to tell you, they're not boring. They're not scary. They're deeply, deeply moving, and you can sense you're in the presence of God, and that's what we're here for, to make a space, to create a place where God can come, and we can lean in. And so I want to encourage you to come this particular Friday, because this is really, really important. Now, when we're thinking about these kinds of things, we want to talk about vision this morning. So this is going to be a little bit of a different message in that it's more practical, and it's kind of going to highlight this roadmap for where we're headed as a church. But I ask you to turn to Proverbs 29, because there's a really key scripture there in verse number 18, and here's what it says. I'm reading from the English Standard Version this morning. It says, where there is no prophetic vision, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Other translations say, throw in the towel. Other translations say, they live without real direction, without real purpose. When you don't really know and you're not confident of what God has said, what His plan is for your life, then you're doing the best you can just to kind of figure it out day by day. But it goes on and says, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Now, we're under grace in the New Testament, but you come back and you kind of grab the truth out of that. It really means, but blessed is the person who pays attention and who does what God says. If you've studied any kind of organization, secular or sacred, so you're in the business world and you're responsible to engage a vision or to cast a vision for a company or for some particular group of people, here's what you need to understand, that every good vision will answer three questions, but this is true particularly when it comes to a prophetic vision. So this is something the Lord is saying, and these three questions are this. They'll answer the question, what does God want you to do? What's His plan? Here's number two. How does God want you to do it? And why does God want you to do that? So when you're dealing with prophetic, you're dealing with understanding, this is what the Lord is speaking to me. This is what He's nudging, what I can sense in my heart, what just feels like, boy, this is the sweet spot of where God is. Those three questions are going to get answered. So we're going to use those three questions this morning, and we're going to roll out three statements that will help us to realize where we're headed for this year. So the first question is, what does God want us as a church to do? Now, if you've been around the church world, you might have heard it asked differently. Some people might say, what has God called us to do? Other people might say, what is our divine assignment from the Lord? Any of those questions all point towards the same direction. And the answer for us is found in this mission statement that we prayerfully put together years and years ago, and we've updated it accordingly. But here's what that mission statement is. It's God has called Lakeshore Christian Fellowship to reach and connect people to Jesus Christ in such a way that love is confirmed, hope is renewed, and faith comes to life. Now, that's the way we say it around here, okay? Let me tell you why we say it. I ask you to turn to the second passage, and that's 1 Corinthians 13. And we're going to look at verse number 13 so that you can understand. We didn't just put together what we thought was kind of a cool saying, but as we were praying, we really felt like this was the passage that the Lord brought to the center spotlight in our heart and said, this is what I want you to do. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now abides faith, hope, and love, these three. In other words, you need these three. Pay attention to those three because these three are really, really important. But it goes on and says, but the greatest of these is love. You can hear this statement, you know, faith, hope, and love. That's put together often. And most of the time, it follows the pattern that we read in the first part of this verse. Now abides faith, hope, and love. But if you'll notice, we flipped them. We felt in our heart that God said, no, I want you to say it this way for your own direction, for your own kind of a mission statement to make sure that you're moving the right direction. So we flipped it and we said love, hope, and faith, but the question is why? It's because as we were studying the back half of the verse, it says, but the greatest of these is love. We felt that love is the greatest, so love needs to come to the front. And as we studied, here's the two reasons why I can stand and confidently biblically tell you why love is the greatest and why love comes first for what the Lord said to us. Number one has to do with longevity. Right there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you look at verse number 9 and 10, and it begins to talk about how this whole thing will wrap up. It talks about what life is going to look like in eternity. And here's what it says. I'm paraphrasing, of course. But what it says is that there's going to come a point where faith will give way to sight. What we're believing in our heart, no, we'll actually see it. We're actually living in it. And so we won't need faith anymore for that. It talks about that hope will give way to experience. Hope is what we're expecting, what we're longing for, but at some point we won't have to hope for it. We're actually living it. That's what's going to happen in eternity. But 1 Corinthians 13, 9 and 10 tells us, but love is never going to change. Love is going to continue to endure over and over again. So the first reason why we felt like love was the greatest, why God said that, well, it has to do with longevity. It's going to last the longest. It'll remain constant the longest. The second reason had to do with identity, both God's identity and the identity he wants us to take on. Because in 1 John 4:8, it says, God is love. That's a really interesting thing, because of all the things that God could have used to characterize himself, he could have said God is authority, God is power, God is magnificence, God is splendor, God is glory, God is creator, God is all of these things. But when he boils it all down to one thing, he says, no, you want to know who I am at the core? God is love. It's kind of like God saying, if you don't know anything else about me, if you're having trouble kind of understanding all kinds of things, the number one thing that I want you to know is that beyond anything else, I really, really love you. In fact, that's what John 3:16 says, right? For God not just loved the world, but he so loved the world. So as we were studying that, we thought, well, if that's the number one thing that God wants people to know, then that's the number one thing that we're going to show them. If people come to this church and they don't understand what we're preaching and what we're singing about, and that's okay as long as they walk away and understand, you know what? I got to say this. That's the most loving, the most accepting, the most embracing church I've ever been to. And I'm just going to tell you this, not because it's my opinion, but because we have recorded it in emails, in texts, in handwritten notes from people that have visited the church. We hear this all the time, that God is giving us this ability to demonstrate to people, hey, we're not here to try to sell you anything. We're not here to push you in any direction. We're not here to try to, you know, superimpose something on you. We're just here to tell you that Jesus loves you, and so do we. We'll help you in any way we can. And as we're doing that, then the Lord's helping us to become the church we believe he wants us to be. So all of that, when you ask, so what is it that God wants us to do? Here's the number one thing you need to know about Lakeshore, that Lakeshore is a church, or we're endeavoring to be that. We're a church that is reaching and connecting people to Jesus Christ in such a way that God's love is confirmed all the time. Number one driving thing, hope is renewed and people's faith will come to life. I feel like I want to mention this one too, because we happen to be a church that believes in the Holy Spirit's fullness. We happen to believe in all of the gifts being, you know, being relevant for today. We happen to believe in God being a supernatural God, and he does supernatural things. And that's why prayer is first, and that's why we're endeavoring to lean in, to open ourselves as individuals and as a church, saying, Lord, we want to see more of that. However, this is really, really important. We believe that God's called us to be this church where love comes first. And part of the descriptions that the Lord's given us is we're a church that acts like a bridge. For some people that have already received the Holy Spirit's fullness and they already understand some things about the gifts, Lakeshore is a great place for them to come and now deepen their understanding, not just what to do, but why to do this. What are the gifts for, and how do they really function? How does this whole thing flow in an orchestration with God's plan? How do you do it with a demonstration of love, patience and sensitivity and kindness? And that's really important. But we have a lot of people that have come from other sectors of Christianity, and they've never heard of this stuff. In fact, when they have heard of it, it's a little scary. It's a little weird. It's kind of out there. I'm not comfortable. I don't think I want that. And Lakeshore creates this bridge for people to lean in and learn some things about the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit without ever feeling weird, without ever feeling cornered. Because when you really encounter the Holy Spirit, he doesn't make you go, ah, I don't know about that. He draws you in. He's the most kind, gentle, warm, receptive person that you'll ever meet. That's the way Jesus introduced him, as the comforter and the counselor. And that's what God's helping us to do here as well. So as we lean in on First Fridays and we lean into the spirituals, we're going to lean in understanding we have this mandate of love, this mandate of balance, this mandate of being a bridge, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to know how to do that, and we're really confident that he's going to do it. How many of you agree that's a great start to a vision? Yeah, it really is, and we feel pretty confident about it, and we're excited about it. And so question number one, what does God want us to do? Well, that's what he wants us to do. Question number two is, then how does God want us to do it? And this is why I asked you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. I might have said 1 Kings a moment ago, but it's 2 Kings chapter 4. And we're going to look at a story about a lady that the Bible identifies as the Shunammite woman. The Shunammite woman. And it's going to help us this morning to see just how God wants us to unpack this. So I'm going to begin reading at verse number 8. That's when the story picks up. And we'll stop a couple of times and look at a couple of things, but it's going to help us this morning. So it says, now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, now this is important, look, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Take note of that. Who passes by us regularly. Verse 10, please let us make a small upper room on the wall. So she's saying, hey, let's carve out some space. Let's carve out some space. And she goes on and says, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lamp post, so it will be that whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. So she said, I've just noticed this guy, he comes by our house all the time. And we invite him for dinner, and he comes in, and it's just a great connection. But I know he's a man of God. Let's do this. Have an idea. Let's create a space so that we can make him a place. Let's make a space in our life so that we can put a bed and a lamp and a chair so that he doesn't have to just come and have dinner and then say, hey, thanks so much, and leave, but he can stay here. He can hang around here. And notice this, it says, verse number 11, and it happened one day that he came there and he turned into the upper room, so they did it, and he laid down there. Now, this is really important that we see this because it relates to our lives as individuals. This lady said, here's what I'm noticing. The presence of God, that's who the man of God represented. It wasn't about a person, it was about God's presence. The presence of God seems to pass by us regularly. In other words, oftentimes we find ourselves in the middle of wherever God's moving. We could point it for this morning for convenience to say, we're coming to church on Sunday, or we're around other things where God's moving, and man, you know God's in the house, this is great. But she says, I'm noticing a pattern that we keep getting in the presence of God, and it's wonderful while he's with us, but he passes us by. She said, why don't we do this? Let's create some space in our life so that we can make him a place so he doesn't just pass by. So instead, he lays down and he makes this a resting place. And this is kind of answers number two for us. This is what we want to do. You say, if what we're called to do is to connect people to Jesus Christ in such a way that God's love is confirmed, hope is renewed, and faith comes alive, how are we going to do that? Well, this is how we're going to do it. Lakeshore is going to be a place that makes space to create a place where God can come and rest. And we're going to create opportunities so that you can do that in your individual lives, but also so that we do it as a church. We're going to create these resting places where we're not just in the presence of God and then out of the presence of God, but we can say, no, come stay a while. Come be here. Come make this a habitation. Come make this a home and let us linger. Let us dwell in your presence more. And we're going to show you guys how to do that, and we're going to begin to set that up as a church. In fact, you need to grab that handout again, because this is what it practically looks like. Now, this won't be on your handout, but just for those of you that are schedule-minded, let me tell you what we've done. We've adjusted our church calendar, and we've broken it up into three seasons. And these seasons are going to be easy for you to recognize, because these seasons happen to cooperate or coincide with our cultural rhythm here. So it's taking into consideration weather, it's taking into consideration holidays, it's taking into consideration local school schedules and those kinds of things that all of us on a practical, kind of a practical reality, we're all navigating these things. So we just said, well, we're here to minister to people, and so we rearranged our church calendar to fit these seasons. And so every season will have 4-month blocks. The first month block, like we're doing in January, is a season of rest and a season of readiness. A season of rest, you kind of catch your breath. Oh, we just come out of a season, so we get to exhale, and then we get to get ready and anticipate. Well, so what's God doing next? We get to think, we get to plan. And so we have 1 month of rest and readiness, followed by 3 months where we're making spaces and creating places so that God can move. And then we'll finish that season, we'll celebrate, and then we'll have another month for the next season of readiness and rest, and then we'll make spaces and create places in our lives so that we can involve ourselves with the things of God. So get used to hearing this, and get used to watching our church go in three seasons, and we'll identify them for you. But you can see it'll be much more cooperative with what's going on in the culture. But you will see on your card here that we've also broken it down into 5 G's, and that's just easy for us to remember. And those are what we're calling expressions, or these are the spaces and places where we're going to create so that you can get involved, so that our church can be intentional to say, here's where we believe the Holy Spirit's directing us, so that God can come and he can linger and we can engage ourselves. The first one's gatherings. You'll see that on your card. And it's really these large group gatherings, these kind of whole family times of worship and prayer and teaching God's word. So Sunday mornings would be included there. Our first Fridays will be included there. Those kinds of things where we all come together, and it's just a time where we're going to celebrate as a large family. But then we're breaking it down into groups, and so you'll see that on your card as well. And this is times where we don't just get in the big group, because in the big group, you're doing most of the listening. Somebody up here is doing most of the talking, and we want to break it down so we can learn to do life together. We want to engage conversation. So smaller groups are to connect people with people, or people with Jesus, and people with people. It's just to give you the opportunity to do life together. In fact, this would be a great time for me to remind those of you that are still trying to calibrate and catch your breath in the new year here. We're starting connect groups. Super important. Super, super important. Connect groups, and it's where you're going to sign up, and you're going to begin to get to know a group of people. You can do it just for this first time, and you can say, oh, that was really fun. I think we'll try a different group, or you can find a group, and you stay together for a while. But it's an opportunity for you to jump into smaller settings, and you get to know people in the church, you get connected in the church, and you're getting connected to the Lord, because we're going to give you some systematic things that will help you to stay connected to Jesus and track with what we're doing as a church. So if you didn't sign up yet, sign up today. It's right out there in the little roped-off area, and we'll make sure that you get involved in a connect group. They're going to start next week at some point. Here's the next area you'll see. We're calling it growth tracks. Growth tracks. And it's really step-by-step classes that we're going to begin to offer so that you can systematically grow and you can more deeply connect your life with Christ. So we're not just going to tell you what to do and what the Lord's telling us to do, but we're going to help you to take these baby steps and just start walking. And so we're already working on designing some deeper discipleship classes and designing some things that will help you to learn how to understand and how to begin to live in a deeper level of the Christian life. But we have two that are already ready to go, and we've already launched some of these. The first one's called First Steps, And it's for those of you that are not yet connected to Lakeshore. Maybe you're brand new. Maybe you've been visiting for a while. You're still getting a feel for it. But this is just a one and done. You sit down, and one of the pastors will walk you through with a group of people. This is who the church is about. These are the kind of the foundations of what we believe, and help you to know, get a view of the landscape, help you to know this is who the church is, to help you to make a decision whether you feel like this is where the Lord's calling you to be. The second class that we have offered is called Growth Track 101. This is a four-week class, but it's going to be interactive, and it's going to help you to identify some things about yourself, identify some things that God's called you, how He's wired you, how He's created you to be, and what are the opportunities that you can begin to grow and develop and cultivate those. All of these are non-invasive. All of these are kind of laying a stepping stone out there, and if you want to take a walk in the garden and be able to intentionally grow, then we're going to provide that for you. And then we're just going to trust the Holy Spirit that He's going to begin to lead you in how to do that. Here's another area that you'll see on the back of your bulletin, and it's giving. And this is really important. A lot of churches shy away from this, but this involves two areas. You can't escape the fact in the New Testament that there's a life cycle that happens. So we have to create spaces and make places so that we can receive what God has for us. We have to grow in our understanding. We have to grow in our experience. We have to develop that relationship. But listen, if all you're doing is intake, 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 I don't care what area of your life that you're talking about, it's not healthy. With every inhale, there's got to be an exhale. With every inhale, there's an exhale. And in the New Testament, that expression shows up in giving. And the New Testament teaches that God pays attention to that, and as we learn to become generous with our time, with our talents, those are things He's given us, and with our treasure. So with the finances that we have, as we learn to become generous and we exhale and invest back into God's kingdom, then the life cycle becomes cleaner, and we develop a spiritual muscle, and we can develop better growth. We're not as stagnant and stopped up in areas, and the Holy Spirit will help us to move. So we're going to talk to you, and we're going to give you opportunities to how can you serve? How can you give your time and your talent away or somewhere? And we've got it designed so that no matter what your lifestyle looks like, there's a place for you to serve. Some of them will be once a week, some will be when needed, others are once a month, but we're going to have all that broken down for you so that everybody can get involved and can inhale, but also exhale. This is really important. Also, we're going to be talking about more about tithing and about giving. When I say talking, we're not going to pressure people to give. We're not soliciting money. It can't be about that for us, or else we're off target. We have to trust the Lord. We always have. For 15 years I've been here, it's always been, Lord, this is your church. And He's never, ever failed us. He's not about to fail us now. And so you'll never feel any pressure here from us, at least not intentionally. But we do want to be honorable enough to pastor you and say, listen, if you'll learn to do this, I promise you there are testimonies all over all of our campuses where people stepped in and began to honor the Lord with their tithe and honor the Lord with their offering, and God did exactly what He promised He would do. He began to open the windows of heaven and bless people's lives in their resources, and some of them were overwhelmed because God did exactly what He was talking about. We want to help you and give that opportunity. In fact, this is a good place for me to remind you, in case you've overlooked it, tonight we have a church business meeting. That sounds pretty dull and boring to some of you, but I promise you it won't be. It's only for about an hour and a half. It's a limited amount of time. However, this is going to go over what God has done for us, particularly in 2018. Your eyes are going to get wide when you see all of the things that this church has been privileged to engage and the Lord's helped us to accomplish in 2018. And you're going to get a preview of where we're at financially as a church and what we're doing with our finances so that you're not just giving into an envelope and you don't know where that's going, but we're not hiding anything. So full disclosure, you're going to see all of the books opened up tonight, and you're going to be able to see where that's headed and where the Lord's called us to in 2019. So I encourage every one of you, come tonight because we want you to see that. Here's the last one you'll see on there, and it's going. Going. These are opportunities for us to reach people that are outside of the faith or reach people that are right in our own communities who are Christians, but they haven't found a place where God's connected them with yet. I meet people all the time, and they love Jesus, but they're bouncing from church to church to church. And I'm just going to tell you, I would never pressure anybody to ever come and make Lakeshore their home unless they know for sure that this is where God's placed them. But you can't find any scripture in the Bible that doesn't come back to the same principle. You root yourself in the house of the Lord. You plant yourself in a family. Because if you just bounce, you know, wherever it's fun and wherever it's comfortable, you'll get a little bit of the fun stuff, but you'll never understand the dynamics of doing life together. You'll never get into the meat of maturity that God wants unless you're going to stick around for a while and you're going to involve yourself and you're going to let the Lord begin to develop you. The whole thing revolves around family in the kingdom of God. And so we want you to be part of that. But as we do and as the family grows, then part of us is that we don't want to just stay in the walls. We want to go. And we want to begin to invite other people. We want to begin to minister, as you heard Kyle talking about in the coffee shops this morning. And what if just your presence? What if just your ability just to bring the love of God wherever you went? Nothing invasive, nothing necessarily, you know, out of the box. But somebody noticed. People could tell. Whenever you walk in the room, something's different there. These are the kinds of things that God wants us to do. The New Testament talks about a fragrance. It's the perfume you wear. It's when you walk in the room, people are they can pick up on something, and it's just like a great sniff of a wonderful perfume or a great cologne, and you wear the fragrance of God on your life. And we're learning how to do that. So we've got some opportunities already. If you've never jumped out to one of these, I'm telling you, this is a great experience. So step out. And get involved with our food pantry, even if you just come one time and you see what that's like. Or get involved with, we have Love My City initiatives, and these are various projects and various connections with the communities around each of our campuses. We have an Adopt an Officer program that's in partnership with the TAK Police Department. And Jim and Janelle Billings are the chaplains over there. And so we have opportunities for you to adopt an officer, and you pray and you send them encouragements. And we have the full blessing of the police chief. In fact, if I'm being really truthful, he approached us and said, hey, would your church do this? I've been praying about it, and I feel like your church would be the one to do it. And so we've been doing this for over a year, and we're going to keep that going. And of course, Bolivia Missions, you'll hear more about that tonight if you come to the business meeting, because God's really blessed us. To go to Bolivia. So we've answered, what does God want us to do? To become a church that connects people to Jesus Christ in a way that God's love is confirmed, hope is renewed, and faith comes to life. How does God want us to do this? By taking those steps as individuals and as a church to make space and create places where God can come and rest. And so the last question we have to answer is, why does God want us to do these things? And sometimes I think this is the most important one, because if something has to stir in you for you to understand why this is so important. Otherwise, you think, yeah, that'd be kind of a cool thing. Yeah, I guess that's all right. But you don't really understand what's on the heart and what's in the mind of God and what he wants to do. So we're going to go back and finish this little story about the Shunammite woman. So she made a space. She created a place. And the Bible says the man of God came, and not only did he eat dinner, he's like, wow, that is a really nice, yeah, I think I'll spend the night. And he started doing that from that point on. But look at what verse number 12 says now. It says, then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. And when he had called her, she stood before him, and he said to him, say now to her, so he's talking to his servant to talk to her, look, you've been concerned for us with all this care. Listen to this. What can I do for you? What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. Now, the New Living Translation gives us a little more insight. She says, no, my family takes good care of me. I'm doing fine. He's like, hey, I can put in a good word for you because I know people in high places. No. My family takes good care of me. Verse 14, so he said, well, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi, the servant, answered and said, actually, she has no son and her husband's old. Now, this is really important because it shows us something about what was going on in this lady's heart. She noticed, here's a man of God that passes by us all the time. And I don't see any reason why he just has to pass through. Why don't we make a space and then create a place so when he comes, he can rest and he can linger. And as he's resting and lingering, he's so appreciative that he asked this lady, he said, "What can I do for you?" But listen to me, she had this deep, deep longing in her heart. But that was too big. She thought, that's too big. I'm doing fine. I'm okay. I didn't do it for that. I did it because I just want you to be here, and I just enjoy, you know, what happens when you come to the house. So the servant of Elisha said, "Well, no. Here's what she won't say to you because this is too deep. This is too tender. This one's such a big thing. She'll never tell you this. But actually, here's what she really wants. She doesn't have a son." And it doesn't look like her husband's going to be able to do that for her. Verse number 15. So he said, "Call her." This is Elijah tells the servant, "Hey, tell her to come back. Tell her to come back." And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And then he said, "About this time next year, you shall embrace a son." And listen to her. She said, no, my Lord. "Man of God, do not lie to your maidservant." Now the New Living Translation says, "No, don't play with me like that. Don't get my hopes up. That's way too big. That's way too big." But notice this. "But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elijah had told her." And listen, we can't miss this morning, okay? I'm not trying to hype you up. I just want you to see something about this heart of God. I want you to understand something about this real living God who said to you, "If you don't understand anything else about me, I want you to know that I really, really love you." And here's a woman who, she wasn't even considering this. She's not trying to manipulate. She's not trying to orchestrate something. All she knows is whenever she's in the presence of God, stuff is better. And so she talks to her husband and she says, "Hey, here's an idea. We keep getting in the presence and then it passes by and then we have to wait till the next time. And why don't we do this? Let's make some space in our life and then let's be intentional to create a place so that when God comes, he doesn't have to just pass by. He can rest here. This can be a dwelling place for him." And when she did that, God turned around and said, "Wow, I can see your heart for me. So here's a question for you. What can I do for you?" You know, I've met a lot of Christians that don't think God ever asks that. That God's only waiting for the Christian to come and say, "Here's what I need you to do for me." But they don't realize the loving relationship. That God's heart is so big for us. Pastor Brandon says this often, that the Bible says over and over again, if you were to try to quantify or calculate how often God thinks about you, the Bible says over and over, it would be more than the sands of all the seas around the world. You personally, not just, you know, thinks about stuff. No, he's thinking about you. And every time the Bible says, you need to know his thoughts are not to do you harm. They're not to get even. They're not more, I just need to lean in a little harder. His thoughts are good thoughts. His thoughts are hopeful thoughts. He can see who he's created you to be. He can see your potential. And if we would ever make space, clear our busy schedules, even just take another step and create a place where we're going to be intentional to lean into that, people would be amazed at how often God shows up and says, "Hey, what can I do for you? Tell me what's in your heart." This lady wouldn't, she wouldn't even bring that out. It was too big and too real. But somebody told on her and somebody said, "Actually, here's what she won't say to you. She won't say to you, she really wants this." And God says, "I can do that. I'm telling you, this is what the Lord wants to do." And so here's question number three that we've been wrestling with. Why does God want us to make a space and create a place? Because number three answer for us, God wants Lakeshore to become an oasis of grace. An oasis of grace. Now, that's just not a clever little saying that I made up. For those of you that were paying attention, we did kind of grab that conveniently, but because we heard the Holy Spirit say that. Last week, Brandon was up here doing transitions, and he gave what he believed was a word from the Lord, and I was sitting down there in the front row, and my jaw opened up, and my eyes brightened, and I don't know whether to laugh or cry or celebrate, because he and I'm not sure we'd ever had a full conversation about this. but I certainly had has been months, maybe over a year since it's even been mentioned, at least between him and I. And what I knew that he didn't know is he was rehearsing something the Lord spoke to me in 2006. I was at a conference in California, and there was this time where you could come and you could spend some time in prayer. And I remember I was kneeling down. I was 3 years into the pastorate here. I knew what the Lord had called us to do, but we were in some pretty challenging waters. And I was pouring my heart out to God, lots of tears and lots of emotion. And the Holy Spirit showed up and spoke some things very definite to me. And one of the things that he said to me, he said, you need to keep on moving forward because there's going to come a time that I'm going to make Lakeshore an oasis of healing. And when he said that, I when God says something, you just know some things, and they're not always in the expression you hear, but you know a lot more about what he means because you're grabbing it with your spirit, with a deeper part. And I knew in a moment he wasn't just talking about physical healing, although that was true. He was talking about emotional healing. He was talking about spiritual healing. He was talking about mental healing. He was talking about relational healing. He was talking about people who have been burned out or beat up because they've been involved in ministry or been burned out or beat up by ministries. And they know God's real and they want to serve him, but they just can't seem to put it all together. And they're just so beat up and bruised and bloody. And yet the Bible says, no, I'm going to send you those people. And you're going to restore and refresh and realign them for kingdom purpose. They're going to be right back into the kingdom again because they have a calling on their life. They're never going to be happy just making money. They're never going to be happy just growing businesses. They're never going to be happy just doing, you know, fun things that interest them. The only thing that's going to make them smile to the core is when they understand what God's called them to do. And they take those giftings and they take all those resources and they begin to put God first. And God says, now let me show you how to navigate and move these things. Boy, that's when all of a sudden life just jumps to a whole nother level. And he says, and I'm going to use Lakeshore to do that. Now listen to me. Some of you have already experienced that. I've talked to you. Some of you have said, Pastor, you have no idea how beat up we were when we came. And God just used this church because love was confirmed and they wrapped around it. Some of you came here and you're hoping to experience that. Maybe you're even desperate to experience that. But I'm telling you, that's what God's called us to. Now, he spoke that to me in 2006, but here's what you need to understand. This particular visitation from the Lord, this incredible time where the Holy Spirit steps in, I know in a moment God's in the house. This has happened to me over and over and over again with increasing frequency. Most of the time, this happens in my own home, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm spending time with the Lord. Everybody else is asleep, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit steps in the room. And there's been times, I'm telling you, it's so real. I'm not going to tell you that I've seen a vision, like all of a sudden a movie screen. I'm not going to tell you I was translated. I don't think that was the case. However, sometimes it's been so real that I'm standing in the middle of what the Lord has promised to do with this church, through this church, that I feel like I'm in it. I feel like I'm literally there. And this has been with increasing intensity, and the Lord's been saying, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, get ready, get ready. And I'm sharing this with you now. I don't think I've ever shared this on the platform here, but I'm sharing this with you now because this year we're taking a step. We're taking a deep step into that, and this is what the Lord has called us to do. This is why the Lord has called us to do. Can you imagine what would happen this year if everybody in our congregations, listen, just took one step? I'm not talking about running all the way to the finish line, but you just took these kinds of things seriously that God really wants to do something. If you'll just make a little space and you'll create a place so that God can come, what if people began to say, we're just going to make sure that we're more consistent in gathering. So we're going to come and make sure we don't miss church unless we absolutely have to. What would happen? What would happen if we all joined connect groups and we kind of broke past the awkwardness and we started getting to know each other and God began to show up and we actually did life together? What would that look like for us? What would happen if all of a sudden we kind of look back and re-examine the giving and we thought, yeah, you know what? I need to give back time. I need to give back resources because it all belongs to God. I'm just going to trust him and let's just see what he does. Because the Bible challenges you to do that. says, come on, test me. Try it. Exhale back into the kingdom and see what happens. What would happen if we did that? What would happen if we began to sign up and get involved in these growth tracks and intentionally open the Word of God and systematically started understanding this is how it works? This is not fantasy. This is not just hyper-spirituality or mystical stuff. This is actually how life was designed to work, and it works like this. And if we were actually start learning that and actually start, you know, following that a little closer, what if we began to get outside of our church and we stopped being so awkward and shy about sharing our faith? We don't have to go overboard, but what if we were just honest and say, I don't know about all that. Here's what I do know. As I begin to lean back into church and I learning how to put my faith in God, I'm just telling you, God's changing stuff. And I'd love to invite you to come and you know, sit with me. Or let's have a cup of coffee. Let me just kind of explain some things that I'm learning. What if we all just took one step? I wonder what would happen if we created a space, if we made a place for God to come. I can tell you exactly what would happen. I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. God will show up. Not just in the church. God's going to show up in your life personally. God's going to show up in your family. God's going to show up in your marriage. God's going to show up in your kids. God's going to show up in your finances. God's going to show up, and he's going to talk, and he's going to be very, very, you know, intentional about showing you what to do. And all of a sudden, life is going to get better and more fulfilling and more exciting and more rewarding, so that when we get to this point next year, should the Lord tarry, we'll be a different people and a different church because we took a step. We moved with the Lord. That's the vision for 2019. It's laid out right in front of you. It's pretty easy to understand. Again, what we're depending on the Holy Spirit doing is talking to you and, number one, confirming whether or not this is your place. Is this where God's called you to be? Then go with us. Take a step with us. Don't just let the anointing pass by. You can do that if you want to. You can come on Sundays, and here's what I can promise you that's going to happen because of what I know the Lord's saying. You're going to recognize the presence of God, the anointing, the moving of God's Spirit increase more and more as our Sundays go on this year. That will be totally different by the time we get to the end of the year. I can promise you that. But there's no sense in you sitting there and just enjoying Sundays and letting it pass by you, and then you hit Mondays and they're the same. You're right back out there by yourself, just waiting for the next Sunday. There's no sense in that. You can take a step, meet your space, create a place, and you watch what'll happen. God won't just meet you on Sundays. God will step into your individual life, and God will say, remember that God that you felt last Sunday during worship? Yeah, the one that just encouraged you, the one that seemed to just offload all the stress, the one that reminded you that he loves you and he's got a plan for you. Yeah, that's me, and I'm here with you on Monday morning. By the way, I'll be here on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And if you let me, I'll come to church with you next Sunday. That's the God that we serve. This is the one that I gave my whole life to because he's real. And God wants to do something in our church. Here's what I want you to do this morning. Would you stand up to your feet? I don't ask you to do this.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. For more information, check us out on the web at lakeshorecf.com.